The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Bible teacher and author Kelly Minter brings to life the teachings and healings of Jesus in The Blessed Life.
And it's actually not a pronounced blessing, or even like, I'm going to bless you with this item or this gift.
Yeah.
It is a state of being.
Happy.
So, yes, so Jesus is describing, happy are you, flourishing are you. This is the state of being. Everybody, welcome to Life Today. I'm Tammy Trent, and this is Randy Robison. We have a great show for you today. She's been on before, and you absolutely loved her, so you're going to love her again today. I love her. It's funny, though, our paths have not crossed in ministry. We were talking today in over 22 years.
Wow.
So I'm getting to meet her for the first time
today.
Were
you like 8 years old?
Yes, I was. Thank you for that, Randy. But she has a brand new devotional out, The Blessed Life. And what does it mean to live the blessed life? I mean, I think we all want to live that. I think we're made to live a blessed life. So let's talk with Kelly Minter today. She is a best-selling author. She is a musician. She's a speaker. She's a Bible teacher. And she actually had a basketball scholarship, too, at one point in her life. So we've got a lot in common. Kelly, welcome to Life Today.
Thank you so much, Tammy. It's awesome to be back with both of you. And this is a privilege. And so love getting to talk about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and the miracles that he did and how Matthew puts all of that together and what it means to live blessed.
So you are already jumping right in. So let's dive in together. What does it look like to live a blessed life? Am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong?
Right. I mean, that's the question. People want to know, like, well, what is the definition of blessed life?
Right.
And the culture gives us a lot of definitions.
Okay.
Right? We've got the hashtag blessed, like, oh, I got a new vacation home. God's blessed me. I got a promotion.
Right.
I've got more money. I finally met the man of my dreams. My, you know, kids, a new kitchen, whatever. Oh, hashtag blessed, you know?
Right.
And it doesn't mean that those things aren't blessing. However, when Jesus comes to announce his kingdom at the very top of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, he starts with the word blessed, but he attaches it to something that we would not think. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Blessed are those who see God. You know, blessed are the persecuted. Like, wait, what?
Right.
You know, or blessed are those, the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But we see these connections, and it's not the state of hardship. It's what's attached to that. Blessed are the poor in spirit because theirs is the kingdom. You know, blessed are those who mourn because they will be comforted.
Love it.
You know, and so we get these attachments, and those promises are part of the kingdom of God that is accessible to us. And I think it's profound because when you think about who Jesus was giving his message to that day on the sermon, when he gave the Sermon on the Mount, it was the poor. It was those downtrodden by Rome. It was the oppressed. It was the paralyzed. It was the demon-possessed. We get all of that at the end of chapter 4. And so here Jesus is pronouncing the blessedness, the flourishing ability of this broken group of people because his kingdom had come. He's announcing his kingdom because he is now present. And I know, Tammy, you know this personally, that in the middle of hardship and in brokenness, there is this fellowship with Jesus that is unlike anything else.
Yeah.
And we get to share in his sufferings and in the power of his resurrection. But we just really want to share in the power of his resurrection and not always in the fellowship of his sufferings. But I think that so often the world puts blessing on all of these external things that we can have. And then when we don't have those things, or when we go through these really hard losses, we think, well, God's not blessing me. No.
Right.
His blessing is his presence and the promises of his kingdom. And those aren't pie in the sky things. Those are real tangible experiences that we can have. And so, probably most of the time, I mean, if I'm being honest, I probably get the blessed life wrong as far as how I define it for myself.
Right.
And I used to think in this very linear, like if I do the right things, then God's going to bless me with all the things that I want. But I realized that the true blessing is his presence, is the blessing of his kingdom. And man, it's the Beatitudes are a lot to unpack, but it's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah. Let me ask this question, because the idea of blessings, if we look in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. Oftentimes it is children.
Right.
It is a land of milk and honey.
Yes. Mm.
It is a lot of possessions.
Yes.
I mean, there is a material aspect to God's blessing.
Yes.
And I think we know the dangers of tying it just to that. Do you think Jesus was coming in resetting the table or expanding the idea, or just why was he kind of, because there is a reframing there.
Yes, I love the word reframing, but I also think the use of the word is so important. The word that he used is the Greek word makarios.
Yeah.
And it's actually not a pronounced blessing or even like, I'm going to bless you with this item or this gift.
Yeah.
It is a state of being.
Happy.
So Jesus is describing, hey, even when you are persecuted, even when you are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, even when you are mourning, you are in a state of thriving, of flourishing and joy when you are in the kingdom, when you are his followers, when he is with you. And so I think that is totally different. It's not this kind of a blessing where we grab or even a pronouncement. This is wisdom literature. Jesus is saying, happy are you, flourishing are you, this is the state of being. And it actually ties really closely into Psalm 1, where it says, like, happy is the man who, you know, or the woman who doesn't stand in the seat of the ungodly, you know, but who loves the law of the Lord and walks in the way. It's a description of the good life.
Yeah,
and that's a different thing.
And the other word you just used, which is one of the translations of the Greek, flourishing.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I get excited about it. I will be really transparent. I don't fully understand. I don't feel like I fully understand all that goes into the Beatitudes, you know, like, because it's like, this is so upside down. But there are moments, I think, in my greatest losses and in my greatest moments of grief and mourning where I have entered into that place of worship, and the presence and the goodness of God is so close that I'm like, yes, I get this blessing. I get what this means, but it's like sometimes in bits and pieces, you know? And oftentimes it's when I'm in impoverished places that I see, okay, these people get it in a way that I don't get it, because they really are so happy. Like when I just got back from the Amazon jungle and there's just a joy and they don't know where they're getting their next meal, but they are blessed. They're living in the kingdom of God, you know? And you're like, how does this work? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I get it. And I'm also like, Lord, keep helping me really get it. You know?
No, I can relate to that, Kelly, when you talk about some of the deepest, darkest hours of my life, the saddest times in my life and that season of coming out of grief for me, I think was one of the seasons, crazy enough, that I could attach the word blessing to. Mm-hmm. Because in the worst time of my life, I could feel an extraordinary amount of blessing in my life. And it wasn't, like Randy said, it wasn't material things. Mm-hmm. It was even in my relationship with Jesus. Yes. I was being blessed to go deeper and in my relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. There was also a season in my life where I tie the word in obedience to blessing, where I would find out of disobedience, there was a lot of lack of blessing in my life, the things that I needed spiritually. Yes. And when I began to walk in obedience in certain areas of my life years ago, how I aligned that with blessing.
Yes.
Do you see the same in people needing to make change in your life to begin to access real blessing in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. Because Jesus leaves the Beatitudes and he talks about how he's the fulfillment of the law. And then he takes Old Testament commands and he begins to reframe them, if you will, and saying, hey, listen, if you really want to walk in this newness, you're not going to just not murder people. Mm-hmm. You're actually not going to be angry. You know, you're not going to just not commit adultery. You're also not going to lust. Huh. You know, and you're not going to just love the people that you like. you're going to actually love your enemy. And that's all obedience, right? That's another level of walking in obedience. Yeah. And Jesus is, some people say he's raising the bar, but I think it's not so much that he's raising the bar. We were always supposed to obey from our heart in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
But I think he's expanding our understanding. And you get those prophecies in Ezekiel and Jeremiah where those prophets say, hey, there's a day that's coming where the Spirit is going to turn hearts of stone into flesh. And there is going to be where your hearts are going to be changed. And there's essentially going to be this new ability to fully obey and love the Lord in a new way. And I think we see that unpacked in the sermon. And that's just been really practical and helpful for me because I don't know about you all, but I just felt like I came out of the womb, like just ready to like disobey. You know, like I was just like, like, give me what the world's got,
yes,
you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I grew up in a pastor's home and, you know, the whole thing. But I just feel like I came out with a lot of flesh and or sin nature, maybe.
No,
maybe we
I
all
get
have to say
yes.
that. I don't know. I feel like I got a little extra. So I go through and I'm like, Lord, I thank you that you fulfilled the law for me. That's in Matthew 5 before he starts reframing some of these. Thank you that you did that for me. And thank you that you've given me this new heart to walk in these what feel like impossibilities. How do we love our enemies? How do we do that when there's this tragedy in this world and terrible? How do we do that? Right. How do we love an ex-spouse or someone who took our job or stole from us?
Right.
How do we not lust? How do we really, truly tell the truth all the time? You know, I'm just recapping some of the things that Jesus was speaking of. And the answer is, well, I believe because Jesus fulfilled the law for us, and then he has empowered us through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, which comes a little bit later that we see, but that life change. And I get excited about that because I'm very aware of my own sin and my own brokenness and tendency to selfishness, but also because I see this world broken.
Yeah.
And Jesus is defining this community of believers that are salt, that are light, that love one another, that love even when it seems impossible. And then he goes on to so many other different things, but how we need the church right now. Living the blessed life.
Yeah. Here's one of my questions. Yeah, you know me and my questions,
yes,
right?
Yes, I know.
Because this is one of those things.
I get nervous every time. How am I going to answer these?
So, if I want to be blessed, you know, look at the Old Testament and the law, and there's very much an if-then construct to a lot of that.
Yes.
God says, if you will do this, then I will bless you.
Mm-hmm.
And repeatedly, lots of. And the Israelites failed. Mm-hmm. God blessed them anyway, kept his promises. I get this. So we are in a completely different era.
Yes.
So if I want to have the blessings of God, to walk in the kingdom, is it up to me to get control of my lust or control of my anger or to show love to my neighbor so that I can experience these blessings, this kingdom life?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I focus on the kingdom life and then all of a sudden, like my pastor says, you get saved, you can sin all you want to, God just changes your want to. Do those things start to come off? Because we see this. Depending on which church you go to,
I know.
You're going to get the behavior modification sermon or you're going to get the grace sermon kind of.
Yes, right.
And it's like, where is the sweet spot there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, I don't know if I have a great answer to that. I'll tell you what I see in the sermon. So I think it's really important to look back. It's, I think, right there in chapter 5 where Jesus says, I did not come to abolish the law. So a lot of the things that you're talking about, do this and there's a blessing. I didn't come to abolish that. I came to fulfill it. So how does he fulfill that? Well, he's going to be broken. The tablets, when Moses gave the law with the tablets, remember he shatters them because of the sin that is there. Jesus doesn't come down that mountain holding tablets of the law because he is the law. He's fulfilled it. And then the tablets of Moses that were broken, Jesus now, he is the one that is broken for us. Mm-hmm. So we see this foreshadowing. So I would say Jesus comes off that mountain. Eventually he goes to the cross. He is broken for us. We are regenerated when we come to him. Our hearts are new, renewed. All of that is the fulfillment of those prophets. So we're renewed. But then, of course, we still have our sin nature. And so then it's like, okay, Lord, I am regenerated. I am your child, but I'm still struggling with all of these issues that you've talked about, all my sin. But I want to, I want to follow you. I want to do what you've said. And that's where I think you get into later, where he talks about the Spirit, you know, walking in the way of the Spirit and the Spirit working through us. But at the very end of Jesus' sermon, and this is where I think that there is blessing, he says, essentially, don't just be a hearer. Don't just hear the words. Do them.
Yeah.
Put them into practice, because if you really want to build your house on the solid rock, then you're going to do what I've told you to do here. Mm-hmm. You're not going to just hear. And I think so often what happens is that we hear the word of God and then we go to culture and we go, oh yeah, but surely he didn't really mean this. I mean, compared to everybody else, I'm really kind of okay. And Jesus is like, no, no, this is what I've taught. This is what I've said. And I, even though it's not an explicit statement, I think the idea is if you want to live the blessed life, not the culture's definition, but the true definition of what it means to be blessed in the kingdom, you're going to do what I've told you to do. Yeah. And that's where that obedience comes mm-hmm. into, Tammy, that
exactly.
you're talking about. And that's how he ends the sermon. Amazing. That's how it ends. And then it says that the people that were there, they were amazed. They'd never heard anybody talk this way about the Old Testament law or really about any of it. Mm-hmm. And it blew them away. And so that's where this is challenging me. Like, how do I become a doer?
Yeah.
Not just a hearer.
Exactly. It challenges me when you say it like that, too, because sin nature, I feel like there's definitely uh-huh. things I've had to work through in my life, throughout my life. And I think as you say it and you put it that way, it's like, be a doer of the word. Listen to what Jesus' instructions were mm-hmm. and follow them.
Yeah.
When you follow his way, follow the path, stay on the path, Tammy, blessings will follow you all the days of your mm-hmm. life. We are people that are constantly like, I'm not blessed, Randy's blessed, you're blessed, right. everybody's got something, and yeah. I'm struggling over here, and yes. disasters hit my family, my finances are gone, my marriage is broken up, I've lost my job, everything's been taken from me, and I don't feel blessed. I'm not living a blessed life, because I don't have anything. And I think if we just stop in that moment and go back to the Sermon on the Mount, listen to what Jesus has said, follow his instruction. Let that be even a first step for you today.
Yes.
Follow the instruction, the careful, thoughtful, intentional instruction of Jesus. Take those steps and the blessings will begin to follow you and set you up for the blessed life.
Yes, yes, I love that. And there's so much more too in the sermon than just instructions about what we are to do and, right. and not do. There's also these incredibly comforting words like, you know, when you're outside, consider the birds and see how the right. Lord, like, aren't you worth more? See how the Lord provides for them. I was on a walk the other day and I saw this little blue jay and I saw him, you know, foraging for food. And I was like, such a good reminder. It's like the Lord's like, just like I provide
Fighter.
For the birds, your heavenly Father, how aren't you worth more? And then right. the flowers of the field, won't he do much more for you? And when he talks about how he dresses the field. So it's not all just don't lust and you know,
right.
it's
That's
also
good.
Like, hey, yeah. remember to like you have a heavenly Father yeah. that provides, that loves you.
That's
and
good.
Then the Lord's Prayer and that we can come to him and our heavenly Father is not out to just trick us or deceive us, but he's a good Father
yeah.
that delights in giving us good things. So there's a lot in this body of teaching that I think is really encouraging.
I have a theory I want to float by you.
Okay.
But it's going to have to wait until the next program.
Oh, my goodness.
So you can come back and do another one.
All right. Are you going to give me a hint as to it, or are you going to just throw it out to me?
We'll have to see. I mean, the audience will just have to tune in.
Tammy, you're going to have to give me some
other program.
I'll be here with you.
Because we haven't even talked about the miracles of Jesus.
Yes.
And we need to do that.
We do need to do that because Matthew packages the miracles and the teachings of Jesus together very, very intentionally. And I can't wait to talk about that.
Okay. So on another program, and if you ever miss a program, you can go to lifetoday.org. But we're going to ask you to not just be a hearer of something today. We're going to ask you to be a doer. And it is a blessing to be a part of Mission Feeding. And when you do it today, you can also request Kelly Minter's book, The Blessed Life. And we would be happy to send it to you to bless you as you bless others. So watch this and see how you can step into the blessed life by being a blessing in someone else's life. Right now.
We're here in a malnutrition clinic in Pibo, South Sudan, and you're going to see as we walk through just how many mothers there are here.
In sub-Saharan Africa, the death rate for children under five is the highest in the world. and the majority of those deaths are due to the complications of malnutrition.
Their children all suffering from malnutrition. They brought them here to be screened. But what you're going to see as we keep walking is that out from our center here, it just keeps going. The mothers literally are overflowing out of here, and they're going all the way down. They're going around the corner. We've had to use another room to be able to actually put mothers in. And when we consulted with these mothers and we started asking mothers whether they, you know, what the condition of their children is, have they lost children? More than 25% of the mothers here said that they had lost at least one child to malnutrition or a lack of food.
In South Sudan, malnourishment clinics are overcrowded because of the fact villages have no food.
You see, this is what mission feeding is all about. Mission feeding is about bringing highly nutritious food, life-saving food to mothers and children like this, to be able to ensure that these mothers don't bury their children anymore, that these children don't lose their lives, that we are able to truly express God's heart by extending His hands and giving these children the life-giving food that they so desperately need. We have to continue these programs. We have to even increase what we're doing here. We need that lifeline, that pipeline of food. We need mission feeding to continue to save lives here each and every day.
Mission feeding truly is a lifeline, tying every one of these children to hope, to Jesus, to life. We do have to continue. It's hard work. I know it's a tough ask all the time, but I know that it's making a difference. Whatever gift you're able to give, it's making a massive impact. You must know that the rewards are going to be so great for all of us, just to know that we have partnered with such a ministry in some way to make a difference in the lives of people that just, they don't know where their next meal is going to come from. I'm asking you today if you would consider being a part of this with us, to continue bringing more increase and being more of a lifeline. I know that it'll make a difference. We need you today.
Here's what it takes. $30 will feed three children for the next 3 months. $50 will feed five children for the next 3 months. A gift of $100 would actually help feed 10 children. And if you can give a gift of $1,000, what a difference you would make in the lives of 100 children. Now, how does that work? You know, Tammy, the pictures that we saw from South Sudan, those are some of the most difficult.
Yes.
Because you're dealing, yes, they've had some floods up there, which you can't grow anything when the ground's being swept away. Yeah. They've also had some situations where there's a lot of displacement.
Yeah, that's right.
Very different from what you've seen in, say, Angola, where you're looking at droughts oftentimes. Mm-hmm. Sicknesses that come through and prevent someone from working in the field for 4 or 5 days, which can be devastating. But the consistent thing we're seeing is that when there are people who are self-sufficient, something happens. Something breaks their normal cycle. And it doesn't take long to throw a child into a state of malnutrition, to starvation, and then to death. Mission feeding comes into that emergency situation, whether it's a mobile clinic sometimes, or coming in and just feeding at schools so children will get a meal as they get an education. It's about meeting the practical needs of people who need it the most. They don't have systems in their countries, that safety net that we have much in the West. We are their safety net. You are their safety net. And it's been ongoing for a couple of decades now, almost like 30 years since we started partnering with Pretorius's. And we have made great strides over those years. We've also we've established ourselves in many countries so that we can come to you and say, for the very, very efficient, low cost of a few dollars, we can help save lives. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that hasn't changed is our dependence on you, the viewer. Tammy, the reality is, the more people that come together, the more children we can feed. And we have to have the support of the viewers.
We do. And that's why we're coming to you again today. We do need you. We want to increase The food that we're bringing into these villages. We want to save every child if it's possible, mm-hmm. but we do need you and we need your help. If you would go online today or make a call and make the best gift you possibly can, I promise you it won't be in vain. And when you do that, we want to send you this book today, The Blessed Life, because as you are a blessing, we want to also be a blessing to you. Go online or make a phone call and make truly the best gift you possibly can. It will make an enormous difference. Thank you.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you 365 days of courage. Filled with scriptures and words of encouragement, this daily devotional will give you the confidence that comes from knowing how God sees you. Take courage in Christ's love and be ready to conquer each day. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Blessing Framed Art. This beautiful wall art will grace your home or office and serve as a daily reminder of God's blessing and kindness over your family. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds, inspired by Jesus' words in Matthew 6:26. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You can be a blessing, and I pray you will do it today. Go to the phone, go online, make the best gift you can, and it will change someone's life. Not just bless them, it'll change their lives. You know, Tammy, this is so good. I hope people call and ask for Kelly's book today.
Yeah, definitely call and get this book. Kelly, we love you. We appreciate you.
Oh, thank
you. Fun to finally meet you.
I know.
Yes, it was so great. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
When planning your future, keep their future in mind. Contact Life Planning Services today.
We're not going from a land that's living to a place that's dying. We're going from a place that's dying to a place that's living.
Amen.
Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.